I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wale from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome on to this edition of Run with Coach Parry. My name is Brad Brown. It's great to have you with us once again. And today we get to chat to another member of the Coach Parry Online Training Club. And it's someone by the name of Dineo Mashiane. And we're going to be helping Dineo on her journey. I think you're going to get a lot out of today's podcast as well. And also coming up towards the end of this podcast, we'll be announcing our next winner in the hashtag Biogen Journey competition. And we've got a very, very cool success story to share out of the forums on the Coach Parry Online Training Club. And I'll get into that now before we get into our chat with Dineo. I love this. It was from Martinez Wilkin, who I shared a post a couple of weeks ago about his new marathon PB that he ran at the Mille Marathon in Valcom. He ended up taking 23 minutes off his marathon PB. He went from 3:36 to 3:13, which is amazing. Then just a few days ago, he posted again saying, I have to thank the Coach Parry team. Once again, I ran the Omdidam Ultra Marathon. It was his first one. And he went and smashed a 42K PB again within that ultra marathon. He ran a 3:08 marathon within that ultra at Omdidam. So another 5 minutes off his PB. So he's basically taken off 28 minutes off his PB. And he is getting very, very close to that sub 3 hour mark. He ended up finishing the 50K ultra marathon in 3:41. He says, it is just awesome. Thank you, Martinez. You are a legend, my man. That was superb performance. And he's training for Comrades. So I'm going to back down a little bit, and he'll be easing into Comrades now. The hard work is almost done, and it's almost time to taper. So well done, Martinez, and thank you for being part of Team Coach Parry. If you'd like to find out more as well, by the way, go over to coachparry.com/join. It's your chance to become part of one of the most exclusive communities online. You get access to over 70 training programs, direct access to Lindsay and the rest of our coaches, and a whole lot more as well. So go check it out. That's coachparry.com/join. Well, we head to Bloemfontein in pretty much the smack bang center of South Africa now to catch up with Dineo Mashiane. Dineo, welcome on to Run with Coach Parry. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Brett. I'm very happy to have joined you today.
Dineo, I'm excited to touch base and see sort of a little bit about your background and how we can help you. But you've been running for a few years now. Tell me a little bit about how you got into the sport of running. Where did your love for it start?
Okay, 2015, and before that, I would be on the treadmill for like 20 minutes or so. And then 2017, I would go to the gym classes, cardio classes twice a week and run on a Saturday for park run. And then I saw that I'm enjoying running a lot. So in 2017, I started running on Thursdays as well. There's a city run that's hosted there at the park run place in Bloemfontein. So I did that Thursdays and Saturdays. And then later in the year 2017, I registered for Soweto 10 kilometers. And I was training for that for the whole year. I enjoyed that. Although after the run, that 10 kilometer run, I felt like I will never run again. But a week later, I bought new running shoes and I did the 21 kilometers OFM race. I guess the rest is history. Since then, 2018, I started running 3 to 4 times a week, distance of between 10 to 15 at that time, or 17. And then I did a few 21 kilometers. My first official marathon was in August last year, 2018. It was the Mandela Marathon in Pietermaritzburg. Jeez. That was a tough marathon, but it was fun.
I was going to say, Dineo.
After that, I was just...
I was going to say, you picked a tough one as your first one. That's not the easiest of marathons.
Yeah, no, but after that, I was looking forward to seeing what the next one looks like, because everybody kept saying, that's a tough marathon, that is a tough marathon. So my next one was Cape Town. Cape Town, I must say, it was much easier, but running is running. You still have to drag yourself through the 42 kilometers. And then my last marathon was Soweto. But after Soweto, I felt like, no, I'm fed up with marathons now. I just want to restart myself, and because I'm not fast at all. The fastest marathon was what, 5 hours 20 minutes at Cape Town, and I would have loved it for it to be a sub five. So this year I want to concentrate on shorter distances. Although last year I did register for Comrades, and I'm actually training for my qualifier for Wali to be my qualifier.
Okay, yeah, Danae.
And then we'll see if I'm. Have to go to the start line.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to see your progression, and I mean, you talk those marathons, Mandela Marathon, and then Cape Town and Soweto. I mean, even Cape Town, as you, and you make an important point there. You still need to run 42 Ks. It doesn't matter how flat the route is; it's still hard. And then Soweto is a tough one as well. So you haven't picked the easiest of marathons, and people think flat marathons are easy. They're not easy. I mean, they're not as hard physically from a up and down perspective, but your body hurts because it's the same movement over and over. At least an up and down gives you a bit of a break. So you haven't chosen the easiest marathons to run, I can tell you that much. And and you still, I don't want to say you're fairly new to the sport, but you haven't been around for 20 or 30 years, and that experience will come, and we'll bring Lindsay in a moment as well. But tell me a little bit about running in Bloemfontein. I grew up in not too far from there, actually. As a youngster, we lived in Virginia, which is, I think it's about an hour away from Bloom. The summers get very hot and the winters get very cold. Tell me about your experience of running in Bloemfontein.
I actually love running in summer because it gets lighter early in the morning. I'm an early morning runner, so you can actually start around 4, 4:30 to run in summer. In winter, I don't like it because I don't like running in the evenings. And in the morning, it's so dark. So I don't like running in winter, but, you know, we do what we love, and you just make sure that you are secure during those dark days. But otherwise, in the afternoons, yes, when it's hot, shoo. Like yesterday, I ran at, it was 5:20 in the afternoon. That was hot. That was hot. I also asked myself, why didn't I go in the morning? So it does get quite hot. But I think I've been lucky with the last half marathon Tropers. It was cooler that weekend.
Danae, tell me a little bit about do you run on your own, or do you run with a crew in Bloom? Tell me about your team, so to speak.
Yeah, last year when I started running more regularly, I ran with a crew, the old Mutual Club crew. Now this year, mostly I run by myself. But I do join the guys over the weekend sometimes. Yeah, on Saturdays, Sundays, there are people that I run with. But mostly, yes, I run by myself.
Okay, perfect.
I find that when I'm running with other people, I feel like I'm slowing them down, and then I end up not enjoying my run. So when I'm running alone, I can run as how I feel. Most times, I feel like I want to do a slow one, easy, as Lindsay puts it. So I enjoy the easy runs. It's only once in a while that I want to push myself.
All right. Yes. Well, talking of Lindsay, let's bring him in now. Lindsay, Danae and I have been chatting, obviously, a little bit about her running background. She sent through a questionnaire to you with regards to her sort of pedigree and what she's done. She hasn't picked the easiest marathons, as I pointed out. Obviously, Mandela Marathon is the first up, and then Cape Town Marathon, and then Soweto. So she's feeling a bit jaded when it comes to marathon running, and she wants to get a bit faster. You've looked at that questionnaire. Your thoughts on Danae's running background and where she is right now, and then we can, I'm sure Danae's got a lot of questions for you, and then we can get into those.
Yeah, look, Danae's also been fairly active in the forum, so you know, there's always going to be those people that you feel like you're getting to know, even though you never really get to meet them properly. But yeah, your initial summation is correct. There's a lot of tough marathons in there, and then initially there were quite a few marathons quite close to each other, and I can see that there's definitely been some progression in her running, and you know, some patience is going to be required, but yeah, just in terms specifically of that the question that's been asked there is that I do feel like Danaya has enough running experience to add in a run per week where there's either an interval type of session or a hill type session or a park run, something like that. And it doesn't have to be too structured or fixed, but the important thing, of course, is to pitch it at the right intensity. And that's why initially I quite like the idea of one hard park run every week or every second week, because that for most people forces at least some sort of moderation. So most people, when they're doing interval sessions, hill sessions is not quite as marked, but certainly interval or speed work, although they're the same thing. You know, people often associate speed work with the track, that you actually push yourself way too hard, and that either leads to potential injuries or stiffness. But the 5K, there's just that little bit of moderating influence because you know you can't sprint flat out for 5Ks. But what we can do once you've done two or three of those park runs is we then get a pretty good idea of what you should be doing, 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, 4 minute intervals, that hill work, because we base that at a relative intensity of the 5K. So your 1 minute, we would probably pitch it between 5 and 8 seconds per K faster than your pace when you're doing that 5K. Your 2 minutes, we'd probably pitch it between essentially 1 to 2 seconds slower than that. And then your 3 minutes would probably be around 3, maximum 5 seconds quicker than that pace of the 5K. And then that will allow that speed to improve and give you a little bit of stimulation, but you still want the majority of your training to be at this pace that is quite easy. And that I think, well, you're enjoying your running more running like that. So I think that is already a big win, that you just enjoy your running more. Your chances of getting injured are less, which means you'll be consistent for much longer. And then from there, you will just start to improve more and more and more.
Cool.
Okay.
Danaya, I'm sure you've got lots of questions. I'm sure you've got lots of questions that you want to ask Lindsay. So I'm gonna leave it up to you. That's why we do these calls, is we want to give you an opportunity to really sort of get some individual help. And what is it? I mean, is there anything in particular you need help with or you want to ask Lindsay?
Yes, please. I think Lindsay has already touched on that, is the one about the sub-450 training plan does not have any speed training. What I asked is that, would it be okay if I include hill training or something every second week?
Yeah, so I think exactly as I said just now, let's start with a hard park run. And you can actually do that every week, every second week is fine. And I would do two or three of those. And then once you've done those, you jump into the forum, and then once a week we'll do a interval type of session, which we'll start probably at 3 minute intervals, depending on how far away from the goal race you are when we start that. And then based on your best park run, we will set those paces for that workout. And then every 4 to 6 weeks, you'll do another park run, and depending on, or you'll do your goal race, and then based on how that goes, we'll adjust those paces. And you'll replace one of your three midweek runs, you'll actually replace with that. So this won't be an additional. So it won't be, you know, you're not going to go from 4 days to 5 days to add in that hard day. You're going to actually replace one of your runs.
Oh, okay. And then my next question would be on, like, I tend to always be low on energy. It's rare that I really feel high and I want to push. Generally, I know if I didn't have supper the previous day, this happens and I also get a little bit dizzy. But then how can I supplement? Because I'm not big on eating supper and I run in the mornings. Also, before I run, I don't eat anything at all.
Okay, so you know the nutritionist that I work with quite a lot has a pretty good saying for that, and that is to say that either we need to fuel for exercise, or we need to fuel in exercise. And so really what that means in a nutshell is that we either are getting enough nutrition in the day, and therefore we are fueled and ready for exercise, or we need to take a little something in while we're exercising. So on your easy runs and your recovery runs, it's all right to feel like that and to not be completely chipper and energetic, although it's not nice to feel like that. So the one thing that I would try and do in your instance is try and have, even if it's small, an evening meal, because you've already said it here that you typically do feel better already with an evening meal than without an evening meal. And then secondly, when you really can't, then have something very light, an energy drink or something like that that you can drink while you're running, or just sip on slowly. So again, for your short, easy runs, it'll be very little. It's just a bit to get in. But for your hard runs and your long runs, that becomes very important that you would then almost be practicing your fuel strategies for in racing, and that should then bring you more energy.
Okay, I'll try the juice or the energy drinks then for my longer runs. Because usually when I drink it before the run, then I cramp on my tummy. But if I drink it during, then I don't cramp. And I don't like that feeling, that cramp feeling while I run.
And that may also be because you're not big on eating. It may also be linked to that. So yes, I would agree that during is better. Otherwise, we need to investigate looking at something like a meal replacement, which isn't quite as sweet and it has a bit of protein. And then that may also be a bit easier on your stomach. So you can try a bit of protein.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then with regard to anaerobic and aerobic, I mean, I've listened to a lot of your talks about that, and I'm not sure I understand. Well, I've started with the easy running since January, and I can see improvements. However, with the hard training that we did last year, I mean, last year, every time we trained, it would be hard. But most of my PDs were during that time. What is then the difference if both of them you can improve in running? I'm not sure I understand you. Okay, what I understand about it is that you train the slower side of you to be faster. I think in simpler terms, is that what it means?
Look, actually, that's a pretty good, it's quite a raw description, but it is a pretty good description. So what we're trying to do by running slower is to stimulate your body's ability to produce or provide energy to the muscles using oxygen. Okay, so that's really what we want to do. So your body can provide energy faster by pathways that don't involve oxygen, and those are at a higher intensity, but we can't sustain those intensities for very long. Typically, that, let's call it anaerobic, or in the absence of oxygen, typically that is used up in 30 to 40 minutes. So the intensity you can sustain for 30 to 40 minutes, that is typically where your anaerobic, aerobic line lies. Now, by doing this type of training where we train very easy, that effectively pushes that line further and further up, and so that line, you can maintain a faster pace for longer and longer. And once we've sorted that out and you are aerobically very strong, then bringing in some anaerobic type of work and intervals and hill training also becomes very beneficial, and it then provides a further stimulus to push that even further up. So by training hard from the get-go, you get lots of very good short-term improvements, but your training is often not as consistent as it should be, because you either break down with injury, or you get sick, or you need rests because you kind of hit burnout. And whereas training this more conservative way you get much more consistent for a much longer period of time, and that your improvements are slower, but they are steady improvements. And ultimately, those improvements go beyond what you were doing before. And then when you're ready to add in those, that intensity stuff, from discussing and talking and following you on the forum, I can say that that is a roundabout now. And that will start to stimulate some more improvements. It's about getting the balance right.
Oh, okay. No, I'm very happy.
Short,
with
hard.
No, I hear people always complain that they can't run easy, and I'm always baffled. Like, what? I prefer running. Yes. Okay. And the next question would be, how often do I need to stretch? I avoid that as much as possible. As a result, I get tight muscles. What is the minimum number of times I need to stretch?
So, look, for me, if you can stretch after most of your runs, that's really the ideal. And so if you do spend 10 to 15 minutes stretching after most of your runs, that's great. Obviously, not, I mean, we don't all, A, have the discipline to do that, and B, the time, because, you know, it gets the program where, okay, I need to run an hour and a half, and I've got an hour and a half, and then I've got to get ready for work and whatever. So there will be days that you don't stretch, but aim, if you're running 4 days a week, aim to stretch for a minimum of 2 of those runs. Try for 3. And obviously, in a good week, you would stretch after all 4. But I think 2, work on 2 as your minimum of the days that after you've run, you're going to have a good stretch.
Okay, no, I need to discipline myself with that. And then the physio. How often do I need to see the physio? I've heard people say that they go every week, and I thought, whoa.
So look,
that sounded like a lot for me.
I would differentiate between a massage therapist and a physio. And I think massage therapist, it depends a lot on budget. Weekly is great. Once every 2 weeks is great. Once a month is pretty good in terms of just maintenance and picking up warning signs that there may be a potential issue. And physio, I go to whenever there's an actual niggle. So physio for me is more once I've detected, okay, there's a problem.
Oh.
Massage therapy is more for me to help maintain and to pick up the early warning signs if there is going to be a problem. And as I say, that can be as often as once a week or about once a month. And a lot of people, what they do is they will go for a massage 3 to 4 days before their main event. So they actually find to keep going and do a little bit of foam rolling, but then they'll go to a massage therapist 3 to 4 days before their main race and loosen everything up, and then they're good to go for their main race. That's not my favorite way, because I do feel like it's good to be used to massage, but you know, for a lot of people that does seem to work.
Cool. Awesome. Danaya, unfortunately, we are out of time. It's been amazing catching up with you. I love doing these calls because we like Lindsay says, we follow your journey in the forum, but we don't necessarily put a voice to a name or a face to a name, and we get to see you in these calls. Obviously, the listeners only get to hear you. But yeah, it's amazing having you in there. You ask such great questions. And we love having you around. So thanks for being part of the team. Tell me, just before we wrap up, why what we're doing at Coach Perry? Why have you joined the training club? Why do you train with us?
Remember last year, every run used to be hard, even on training, to an extent that during races, I did not have anything to give. So now when I was starting to follow Coach Perry a bit, talking about easy runs, I felt like he's telling me what I want to hear, and I want to enjoy running for as long as possible.
Awesome. Well,
that's why.
We love having you around. Thanks for being part of...
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
No, you're most welcome. So, yeah, if there's any other questions, you know where to post them. Pop them in the forums, and, we'll catch up there.
Okay, thank you so much, Brett. Thank you, Lindsay.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers, Danae. It was awesome to chat.
And that's it for this edition of Run. Thank you so much to Danae and the coach for joining us today, and thank you to you for listening. to the podcast. We've been following James Hobbo Hobson's journey to Ironman 70.3 in Durbs in the first week of June. Not long to go now, and Hobbo is going great guns. We'll hear from him on next week's podcast once again. He's lost 25 kilograms on this journey so far, and he's doing phenomenally well. And we've been asking you to let us know what your Biogen journey is on social media. Just use that hashtag Biogen journey. And if you do, we could be making you a winner. Up for grabs, 3 months access to the Coach Perry Online Training Club that I mentioned at the start of the show. And also a Biogen hamper. And we got a post in on Facebook from Rob Squire. Actually, it wasn't on Facebook. It was on Twitter from Rob Squire. His Twitter handle is Let's Go Robbo. He says, I'm training for my second comrades, going for a bull row, and hopefully I have the speed. He's got a 33-minute 8K time trial, but he needs to build his endurance. My time slide as the distances increase. His marathon PB is a 3:42. Rob, the good news is we're going to get you onto the platform, and we'll help you in the final running to comrades. So congratulations. I'll be in touch on the Twitterverse, and we'll get that prize to you. So thanks for tweeting that. Don't forget, you can win too. We'll announce another winner next week here on the podcast. Just make sure you use that hashtag Biogen Journey, and we could be making you a winner. Until next week, from myself and the rest of our team, thanks for listening.